Should taxpayers be forced to pay for abortions against their will? Well, we're going to talk about that right now on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Peter Breen, who is a special counsel. He is an attorney with the Thomas More Society, which in fact has filed a lawsuit in Illinois. Peter, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Jerry.
All right, tell us about this particular case. I understand there's some sort of new HB 40, and it would force Illinoisans against their will to have to pay for tax, you know, for abortion.
Right. So just recently, the Illinois legislature had passed and the governor signed a bill to force Illinoisans to pay for what we're estimating about 20 or 30,000 abortions through the Medicaid program and state health insurance. The issue, though, the bill went through with legislative shenanigans, and it went through after our annual appropriations process. So there's no money for these abortions, no estimated revenues available. Because of the games that were played by the folks that passed this, the bill should not be effective for at least until June 1st. And so those are the two claims we're making in this lawsuit to try to push off and possibly to hope that this bill or this law never goes into effect, that we can ensure that no abortions ever get paid for through tax dollars.
By the way, the National Review, conservative publication, they called that governor, who apparently is a Republican, but they said he was like the worst Republican governor in the whole country. And this was one of the examples that they gave, this particular law that he signed into effect.
Well, the governor had promised to veto this bill back in April and May of this year.
He did.
He had promised that to us, both inside the legislature and to various religious leaders in the state. He then reversed course and signed it in September. So that caused a firestorm in Illinois. He just recently drew a primary challenger, in the Republican primary for governor, which is going on right now.
Wow. You know, this is very interesting because isn't Illinois, it's not only broke, but it's greatly in the hole. And now here they're saying, oh, and furthermore, let's spend more money that we don't have and we'll make you pay for abortions against your conscience. Amazing.
Well, we put this in our complaint. The Illinois budget today appears to be roughly $1.7 billion out of balance. So we are spending up $1.7 billion over what we've got coming in. And we've got a balanced budget requirement in the state constitution. And these appropriations, so the monies you would need, we're estimating about $30 million that you'd need for these abortions. That money has never been accounted for. And certainly, when you look at our balanced budget requirement, there's no way to pay for these in the current environment. We've said this, the Democrats in Springfield, the pro-abortion folks in Springfield, are going to have to tell everyone what vital services and what commitments are we either going to not meet or what are we going to cut in order to pay for these tens of thousands of abortions that you want to provide.
And by the way, the Hyde Amendment, I guess that would be irrelevant here because that's on the federal level, and here we're talking about the state politics specifically in the context of Illinois, correct?
Well, the Hyde Amendment actually makes it worse in Illinois because normally if you spent $30 million for Medicaid services, you'd get 15 of that back from the federal government. So really it's a total value of $45 million. So you actually, another way to look at it is if you provided $60 million worth of Medicaid medical services, you'd get 30 of that back. So it'd be a $30 million impact to your budget. Here with elective abortions, the federal government doesn't give you a dime. So that $30 million is out the door and gone and doesn't get us the normal value of services that we would be receiving for that amount of money.
So the Hyde Amendment still is in place, and it still makes a difference for good. That's interesting. By the way, the late Henry Hyde, whom I had the privilege to interview once many, many years ago, was, of course, a U.S. congressman from Illinois, from the Chicago area. But this is so interesting to me that here, again, the top story to me is that this state, the state of Illinois, where I was born, by the way, where I grew up, this state is so broke, it's not even funny, and yet they're now, you know, legislating that, well, we're going to spend more money of the taxpayers that we don't have. Oh, and we're going to do it against their conscience. I mean, I can't help but get away from this top, you know, the top story here.
Well, and it was done in the teeth of study after study that support what we all know to be true, that the strong majority of Illinoisans reject taxpayer-funded abortion.
Wow.
It's over 60% rejection. And when you exclude Chicago, I mean, you're looking at 70% or greater of Illinoisans reject taxpayer-funded abortion. But because of the gerrymandering that has been done in this state, so the legislative line drawing, you have a very left-wing liberal legislature running the general in the General Assembly in Illinois, and that's been a constant source of problems for people who are concerned about pro-life and family and religious liberty.
Okay, so tell us about this lawsuit in terms of who is this being filed against, the state, or how does that work?
Why? So we are. This lawsuit is styled as a taxpayer lawsuit because, you know, the legality of a certain abortion procedure or abortion regulation is not an issue. It's all about tax dollars and the misuse of them. Mm-hmm. So we've filed it in Sangamon County. That's the state capital, Springfield, Illinois. But we're on a quick timetable. So on Wednesday, tomorrow, we are going to have the hearing, and then we will proceed from there to the preliminary injunction, temporary restraining order, and a lot of other litigation, hopefully all culminating in a substantive decision prior to the end of the year, because January 1st is the current effective date that was identified for the bill, and we're trying to push that off.
Hmm. Okay, and just to timestamp this interview, just so our listeners will understand, this is being recorded on the morning of Tuesday, December 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Okay, now, Peter, I've got a question for you. I'm sure the other side would say, look, we should be fair to those poor people, those poor women who want abortions. They don't have access to this if they want to have it because they can't afford it. That's what this is all about. What would be your rebuttal?
Well, here's the problem. The statistics don't bear that out. Folks are getting abortions today. They're paying for them themselves. It's a $400 or $500 procedure when you actually pay cash, as again, you know, versus the $1,000 or so it costs when the state government pays the money.
Hmm.
So folks are getting these procedures themselves. As well, this procedure is elective. In other words, there's no requirement that you do this. These are abortions performed on perfectly healthy women and perfectly healthy babies.
Mm.
So there is no need for these abortions to be performed in any even arguable sense. As well, the people of the state of Illinois, even as more democratic leaning state, they don't like paying for abortions.
Mm.
And it's not like something that say paying for heart medication or a liver transplant or something like that, where there is a legitimate medical condition that needs to be remedied. That is not the case here with these elective abortions, tens of thousands.
Okay, but this is Medicaid that we're talking about. So generally, isn't Medicaid the medical services that are provided for the indigent, provided for those who can't afford services otherwise, correct?
And that makes it even more stark, the relief here. You've got folks that are in fiscal distress, and instead of providing them with good support structures so that they can have their babies and be able to care for them, we are now instead pushing abortion on them, which is something I just, when you look at the way that we should be handling cases like these, the government should be doing everything possible to help pregnant women and their children, especially at this time, with Illinois being in such dire financial straits, economic straits, and the like, of folks fleeing Illinois by the truckload every day.
Go back to the governor, if you would. Here, you said that earlier he had made promises that he wouldn't waffle on this. What changed, to your knowledge?
The media has reported a number of factors. One is that he is married to someone who she is a very strong advocate for abortion rights. I believe is nationally known for that, the First Lady. As well, I mean, he has a number of former Planned Parenthood individuals in his administration.
Oh, brother.
And they have been advocating very strongly for that. But I have to tell you, Jerry, I wish I knew why, because if I really knew why, I would have hopefully been able to stop the decision from happening. I did everything I could prior to the decision being made to change course by the governor. And I continue to do everything I can to make sure that folks in Illinois, that their wishes are respected and they don't have to pay for taxpayer-funded abortions.
Where, if this law goes into effect, and hopefully it will not, but if it does go into effect, where will most of these abortions take place generally?
Well, I mean, the population of Illinois is, don't hold me to it, but I think we're roughly about two-thirds in Chicago and the suburbs. So you're going to see a lot of those abortions occur up in the Collar County area and in the city of Chicago and Cook County.
Cook County,
Right. I mean, that's the majority. But, I mean, they'll occur all over the state, all the way from East St. Louis.
What types of places?
Up to Rockford.
Yeah. And what types of, like, facilities, clinics, hospitals, Planned Parenthood outlets, you know, where would these take place? And part of the reason I'm asking, I lived, as I say, I'm from Chicago, and there was a time back in the late 70s, I don't even know if you remember this, or maybe it was the early 80s, but the Chicago Sun-Times, on the one hand, used to receive lots of money for advertisement for abortion services, and then they did some exposés on some of these abortion clinics and found that they were really substandard just as far as, you know, providing abortion services. I mean, it was awful. I mean, in other words, they were substandard in every way medically. They were putting women's lives at risk, not to mention the babies, of course, who were always killed 100% of the time. So anyway, the Sun-Times, I think, even stopped for a while receiving advertising because of that. So have they cleaned up their act? I mean, I'm sure they did somewhat, but I know on the other hand, the ACLU, I think, even filed suit, you know, to prevent some of the laws going into effect to try and clean up some of those clinics.
Well, and that's the thing. This money is going to mostly go to abortion clinics. That's where most of our abortions occur. And
okay, so actual clinics.
Freestanding.
Yeah.
Right. These are freestanding abortion facilities.
Ooh.
And in Illinois, we had a period where for, I believe it was nearly 15 or 20 years, there were no inspections performed of any of the state's abortion facilities. And the state government was giving the excuse, well, we don't have any money. And then when finally we were able, through great pressure, to get those inspections done about 5 years ago,
okay,
several abortion clinics in the state were fined, and a number of them actually shut down because they either could not pay the fine or could not remedy the violations. I mean, you had dirty surgical instruments, machines being reused.
See, now, why wouldn't, Peter, you think about this. Why wouldn't the pro-abortion forces be out in full force saying, hey, you know, don't put the lives of these ladies at risk like this. This is awful.
No, they were very, very quiet. Look, the old canard of the Bill Clinton era that folks on the left want abortion safe, legal, and rare. I mean, that might represent what the actual voters believe, but it is not what the left-wing leaders and their politicians believe. They just want it legal. Safe and rare are well in the rearview mirror.
Wow. Well, we pray your lawsuit succeeds. People can get more information at thomasmoresociety.org, correct?
Yes, sir. That's it. At thomasmoresociety.org, and Moore is with one O.
Okay. Peter Breen, special counsel with Thomas More Society. Thank you, and God bless you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Jerry. God bless.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.